Welcome to the Swiss Info podcast, a roundup of the biggest stories from this week in Switzerland, plus the business and cultural highlights.
Welcome to our current affairs podcast. I'm Dale Bechtel. The events of the past 7 days were overshadowed by extremist violence in the capital, Bern. But before we get to that, let's take a look at the headlines. A criminal investigation has been launched against two mountain guides for negligent manslaughter in the death of six recruits in July, the worst accident involving the armed forces in recent times. Using the findings of an expert report, the Army's investigating judge, Christoph Huber, said the soldiers most likely died in an avalanche while climbing the Jungfrau Mountain.
We know now that the avalanche is the reason why. I opened a legal procedure against both mountain guides.
The guides are suspected of wrongfully allowing the climb to go ahead, despite the high avalanche risk. An international conference on tourism and climate change ended in Davos with a plea that efforts to reduce the industry's carbon footprint not come at the expense of poor nations. The event organizers, led by the UN agencies and the Swiss government, said policies needed to be adapted to encourage sustainable tourism reflecting environmental, social, economic, and climate responsiveness. Peter Keller represented the Swiss government in Davos.
Also, we had the agreement of the UNEP, of the United Nations Environment Programme, on this declaration. And also, we had the support of the NGOs coming from the environment sector. And we didn't neglect the very important economic aspects, since tourism, as you know, is an economic sector.
The organisers hope the recommendations will be factored into the UN's overall climate change strategy to be negotiated in December in Bali. According to the latest poll, more than half of the Swiss approve of assisted suicide for the terminally ill. But the Demoscope survey found that people are divided over whether the liberal regulations should apply to patients from abroad. Some organizations help foreigners travel to Switzerland in order to die. The best-known organization, Dignitas, assisted in the suicide of 195 Swiss and foreigners in 2006. Now to our top story. Left-wing extremists went on the rampage on October 6th in the capital, Bern, trying to prevent an approved rally by thousands of supporters of the right-wing People's Party, who had planned to march to the parliament building. Isabel Label Johnson reports.
In the clash with police, at least 20 people were injured and dozens detained for questioning. Left-wing militants were able to destroy the infrastructure for the planned rally. The People's Party said the incident was a disgrace and blamed local police, as well as centre-left and green politicians, for failing to provide protection. The Swiss Justice Minister and People's Party leading light Christoph Blocher called for action.
That a so-called black bloc of left-wing rioters could unlawfully disturb an approved march should be of concern to the city authorities and politicians.
Some critics agreed with Blocher and accused police of failing to stop the militants, while others said the People's Party was at fault for stoking tensions with its hardline policies. In order to win votes in parliamentary elections later this month, the largest party in Switzerland is using controversial posters presenting foreigners as the source of much of what is wrong in the country. The Interior Minister, Pascal Couchepin, who represents the centre-right Radical Party, expressed his disapproval of the People's Party's tactics by saying, "They sow the wind and reap the whirlwind." But analysts say the Blocher-led faction is likely to end up looking like the victim and therefore benefit the most from the incident.
Isabel Label Johnson reporting there. There were also plenty of stories this past week which didn't make the headlines. Cyclist Armin Kuli left Geneva last week headed for Jordan. While riding a bike across Europe and part of the Middle East would be an accomplishment in itself, Cooley's adventure is truly exceptional. He's a double amputee and is using his artificial limbs to pedal the 4,700 kilometers to raise awareness of the danger of landmines. He expects to arrive in Jordan no later than November 18th to take part in an international conference on the Anti-Personnel Mine Ban Convention. Also in the spotlight for his road skills, or lack thereof, is Piero Estiarore, a finalist in Switzerland's television talent competition Music Star. The hairdresser-cum-singer rammed his Mercedes into the front of the Zurich office of the Ringier Publishing House. Estiarore was upset about an article in the Ringier newspaper Blick, which likened his recent birthday party to a mafia funeral. "My family doesn't belong to the mafia," he said, after taking the law into his own hands. Leaving the scene without a trace were thieves who stole a fossilized dinosaur footprint from the Jura Mountains. Paleontologists said the stone slab weighing several hundred kilograms was worth tens of thousands of francs. The footprint was made by a flesh-eating Allosaurus more than 100 million years ago. The ski resort of Zermatt has found a way to cheat Mother Nature. The local ski lift company is investing a couple of million francs in a new snowmaking system that can produce cold white powder even when it's hot outside. Originally developed to cool gold mines in South Africa, the vacuum ice machine can churn out 40 cubic meters of snow an hour. Soon, Zermatt will be able to promise, and not just dream of, a white Christmas. Now it's time for Out and About, the segment of the program where we hear from Swiss Info journalists about their travels around the country. Simon Bradley is with me in the studio. Simon, you've been to the Lavaux wine-growing region on the shores of Lake Geneva. I take it you were observing the harvest celebrations there.
Not exactly. Lavaux recently gained UNESCO World Heritage status, and Switzerland Tourism invited 160 international journalists to the region to taste the local wines and the local fine foods. And I joined them, and we were able to sample some of the local white Chasselas in particular, which is the main grape, which gives a sort of a neutral, rather sort of elegant white wine. And I spoke to local tourist director Harry John what this new UNESCO label means for the region.
For us, it's to be able to position ourselves better abroad and to symbolize also to all our guests from other countries in Europe especially, but also overseas, that Switzerland is a wine-producing country. Switzerland has some fabulous areas, and Lavaux, to be honest, if we're looking around tonight, it's one of the most spectacular wine-producing areas in the world, I guess.
Simon, Mr. John uses the word spectacular. But besides the beautiful setting, which could draw more tourists to the region, will the UNESCO label give more than a small boost to local wine sales?
That's not really the main point, I think, for local wine growers. The Lavaux region, the wines have a good reputation in Switzerland, but it's true that they're little known outside, abroad. And to increase their capacity would be difficult. I think trying to meet demand would be a problem for a lot of them. Now, the main thing here is long-term economic survival, and they see the UNESCO label as something internationally recognised, which should allow them to guarantee their long-term future. That's what Bernard Bovey, a local wine grower and the main driving force behind Lavaux's UNESCO dossier, told me.
Vous savez, moi, ce que j'ai défendu, dès le départ, c'est...
From the very beginning, I've fought to safeguard wine growing. I'm a wine producer myself, and the whole struggle has been for that. Just look at the difficulties in Europe, where the EU plans to tear up hundreds of thousands of hectares of vines. Here, our products are expensive. If we can't make ourselves better known, the wine growers won't be able to sell their products. I want my children and grandchildren to be able to continue to cultivate the vines here.
C'est pour ça que je lutte, c'est faire en sorte que mes enfants, mes petits-enfants puissent continuer à cultiver la vigne ici.
Thanks, Simon.
You're welcome.
More details on the Lavaux wine region's UNESCO status and some of the other stories you've just heard can be found on our website, www.swissinfo.ch. And that's also where you can give us your opinion on our audio service. Thanks for listening to the Swiss Info podcast. I'm Dale Bechtel.